hey guys, I know that right now you're like, wait, I hear voices instead of sweet music.
Yes.
So we'll get to that in a moment. Zach and I are here, just wanted to tell you real quick about something that we're very invested in, and that's our IWMC Facebook Live Stream Sale.
Yep.
What it is, essentially, is the most unique way to buy and get comics for you. All you have to do is have a Facebook Live account and follow us, I Want More Comics.
Yep.
At the I Want More Comics page, every Friday and Wednesday at 6 p.m., we kick off the Facebook Live stream sale. What does that entail, Zach?
So basically, that just entails that we're going to do a live video, and when you watch that live video, you can buy comics just by commenting right on the video.
That's right.
If you're local, you can do local pickup. If you are out of state and want them shipped to you, we do that as well. But it's super simple. We just put books out on these racks. You can buy them. We put sticky notes, and if you want to buy something, you can just buy it for whatever price we put it out there.
That's right. It's not an auction. You just will put $5 on a Batman comic. If that's what you want, you just put Batman $5.
Yep. We do it 2 hours every Wednesday and Friday.
Starting at 6 Mountain Standard Time.
Yep. And we have a ton of fun. It's a great community. Some people just come to just talk to people and talk comics.
Absolutely. So we just wanted to invite you, cordially invite you, to join us every Wednesday and Friday night at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on your Facebook Live app or on your computer. So we'll see you then. I think we should probably kick off the music and start the podcast.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast, episode number 66. I'm Zach.
I'm Richie.
And I'm Sean. Who wants more comics?
We
all
do.
Want more comics.
We're here. execute order 66.
66. Something, something, dark.
Dark side. I just had to do it when I saw that it was
oh my God.
Episode 66.
Yes.
All right, so we're just going to jump into the news. They have just announced that there's going to be a Hit Girl ongoing comic book.
I'm in.
The first arc is going to be written by Mark Miller.
I'm in.
But then the second
arc. Did you see
arc,
the really cool variant?
Yes, I did.
By Amy Reader. Reader,
yep. The second,
give me my money.
I'll throw my money at you. Throw up or
give
something.
The second arc is going to be written by Kevin Smith.
Never heard of her.
So good.
And other artists that Mark Miller has said that are going to be coming down the pipe for the book is Frank Quietly, Raphael Albuquerque, Peter Milligan, Eduardo Russo, and everyone's favorite, Daniel Way.
Jeez.
Hit Girl ongoing thoughts, feelings.
I'm down.
All right.
I don't know if you heard me. I'm good. This
do,
is.
Do you want them
I
to
heard something about
give you money?
Money.
You guys need to give me money so I can give it back to you so I can get my comic book.
So
isn't it weird how that works out,
isn't it?
So
I feel like I'm being hosed. Am I being hosed?
Yes.
You're just working for comics.
I have a weird relationship with Mark Miller's comics.
Mm-hmm.
When they first started up many years ago, I was all in. I was super excited, super happy about them, and then they took 3 years to finish.
Right.
And then I made the pact that I won't read them until they're all done and they're all collected, that sort of a thing.
That's a lie.
Right.
And,
Miller stuff, when he was kind of going through that weird, I'm going to get everything into the movies phase.
Yes.
Definitely, he would have spans of 9, 12, year and a half before one issue came out from the other issue. And it was a little rough trying to read.
Exactly. So,
you know, those kind of stories. At that
so,
time.
I love the creators that he has on this. I love Peter Milligan. I love Frank Quietly. I love Kevin Smith.
I love Amy Reader.
I love Amy Reader. Yep. So, but it's one of those things where I still am super gun shy when it comes to his books. Even if he's not doing them, even if he's saying I write the first 6 issues and then everyone else is doing it. So we'll see. I'll check it out eventually.
I have everything there is that comes to Kick-Ass. And for me, when I was collecting them, it was always kind of like oh, good, there's another one, you know? Even if it had been, like, months. I will say that it is a tough comic if you're expecting it every week. It was a rough one to follow.
Yeah.
But I loved it. The idea of getting Kick-Ass without JRJR, nothing against JRJR. But because I was so enthralled with that series, that's the typical face I see as JRJR, is Kick-Ass every time.
Yeah.
So when he does, like, a weird Clark Kent or something, I see Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Because he's so good at the, you know, baseline kind of putting it out. So I'm really excited to see this new artwork kind of enter this world. And further watching Hit Girl move, develop into a more and more badass character.
Sure.
I'm in.
Sure. Well, and I think that's, like, everyone's favorite character from Kick-Ass is Hit Girl, so it makes sense.
Uh-huh. She's just so, like, lighthearted and whimsical.
No,
whimsical.
No, it's the opposite of that, no.
No,
that's wrong.
Actually.
This was big breaking news this week. Axel Alonso has been let go as editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics.
Oh, goodness.
And C.B. Cebulski is now the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics. Joe Quesada has also come out and says that he's going to spend more time on publishing rather than movies and TV.
Uh-huh.
So how do we feel about the change
at
Marvel?
I'm going to go first. I'm going to say, because this is the first time hearing of this at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was everywhere the other day. Everyone's sending out tweets and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Just
kind of taking a huge step back of paying attention to social media quite a lot. So, this is an interesting move by Marvel. It seems like they are still trying to get their ducks in a row. And this is like the moves to get the right quarterback in the position, if you know what I mean.
Yep, pretty much.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I'm on the same board there. As it just feels like this is another giant move in the right direction of we want Marvel to come back in a big, bad way in comics. And I think a shift in edit, especially overall editors.
Well, and if you're going to have Quesada bounce back into that seat more. Yeah. He was the one who did Marvel Knights. He came into Marvel when Marvel was after the bankruptcy.
He saved
and
Marvel.
He basically saved Marvel.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't just him by himself. He had people with him.
Yes.
But he had a vision, and he got a bunch of people to say, hey, we want to do this. And it course corrected where Marvel was going.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
So maybe they're looking at it as a precautionary measure to try to shake things up and see where they can, you know, pull the stories from.
Yeah.
I think it's the most vulnerable Marvel's let us see them.
Well, it's the most vulnerable Marvel's been, I think, since the bankruptcy, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think you're right.
Well, and
I think right now, because with the lenticulars that they just did and the legacy stuff they're doing right now, it's still not probably numbers that Marvel wants. They probably want the numbers to be much higher.
No, and I mean,
so when if you're not seeing numbers the way you want them, you're going to do something else to shake it up.
Well, and when we first started doing this comic book store thing, Marvel was running, you know, super hot, super red hot, and even a C title, a D title, we're selling 35 copies of.
Yeah, they were up in the 30s at least.
That was
like
every
small.
That was
25, 30.
That was the smallest Marvel book. Was like 35 copies. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, nobody reads this book. 35 people.
Right.
But now you're getting people who get three copies.
Uh-huh.
I definitely
of their
think,
entire library. Two or three copies. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I really think that they brought in Axel Alonso from Vertigo a long time ago because he was, you know, he's kind of known as the second person with Karen Berger to help stuff. He was the editor on Preacher. He was the editor on tons of stuff at Vertigo, and I think they brought him in to bring that, you know, crazy, hard-edged edge to it. Uh-huh. And they made him editor-in-chief, and I think that's kind of what they did. They tried to really change stuff up a lot.
Yeah, and I would say that he's known for taking risks and things like that. That's why Vertigo worked, but risk-taking is tough with such staunch characters, you know?
Yes.
When you're risk-taking with Captain America's formula or Iron Man's formula or Hulk's formula, there's a big chance that risk might just be a little too high. And I think maybe that's what they've run into, and they're really trying to solidify their home ground again.
That's true. It's weird to think that these comic characters have their formula. Being a creator for a lot of this kind of stuff, it's hard to try to take that formula and still make it something new.
Absolutely. It's one.
And instead of just
I would see
replacing
as
well. that's a character that's gender diverse or whatever you're going
right.
to do with
well,
it.
Well, that's the.
But it's hard to keep this going for.
Well, that's where the talent. That's where the talent comes.
That's where the talent comes. But what if you know, the talent could try something just completely out of the park with that character.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to point it to Captain America here. America, yeah. That's the biggest one. They took the basic idea of what the character is, turned it on inside its head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result was something different than what everybody first perceived of what it was. But
right.
It still pissed everybody off to the end where they stopped reading it.
Right.
Yes.
And that's just, those are the kind of risks that are commendable, but when they do flop, and in this
they
business,
flop so hard.
When they do flop, and in this business, that's just, you can either succeed or fail.
Yeah.
And this one kind of failed. They need to do something
well,
to.
They've kind of failed on multiple fronts. Is
right.
the problem?
Well, yeah.
You can take one
so,
failure, but you
right.
can't take many failures.
Well, and
right.
so C.B. Cebulski has been the editor or the manager of talent for Marvel Comics for. Like 25 years,
right?
And he is known as, bringing back your football analogy, a player's coach.
Okay,
he is the guy who always looks out for the writer, the artist. He's the one who's always tried to, he's known as the guy that you go to if you have a problem or something.
Yeah, he sees the feelings mm-hmm. and not the numbers necessarily.
Yes, exactly. So them making him the editor in chief. After, you know, not like Tom Brevoort or something, somebody
uh-huh.
like that, just shows to me that they are trying to win back goodwill in the creator community as well.
The creative pool?
Yeah, because you had a lot of creators jump from there as well.
Yeah.
Rick Remender, Jonathan Hickman, Jeff Lemire, uh-huh. a lot of those people.
Recently, Bendis.
Recently, yeah. And I think that they're trying to bring in somebody who is going to be... C.B. Cebulski is more for the talent pool.
Mm-hmm.
And Quesada, as soon as I heard that Quesada was coming back, I said, that's brilliant because he is the one who was the head of the train for a long time at Marvel and made them super popular. And he's the one who gave Ed Brubaker Daredevil and Cap. And Bendis, New Avengers, and all that kind of stuff. So, makes a lot of sense.
Him. He was good for the company at the time they needed him.
Absolutely.
And maybe he can be that again.
And he might do that again. So that's
super big news.
That was big news. Last thing I had, especially for you Walking Dead fans out there and in here,
uh-huh.
In the new solicits for February 2018. There is going to be a new female villain for The Walking Dead. They're calling it a female Negan, but she's in a business suit. So what are your guys' thoughts about a new female villain, a female villain, instead of
female's
Negan
fine.
Or the governor?
Don't, male, female, it doesn't matter.
And I would say
it's as long as it's not a rehash of characters we've already seen, that's what I don't want.
I would agree with him on that. I think especially in the world of Walking Dead, one of my favorite things about Walking Dead in my early days of reading was the throwaway of the regular tropes that are important in comics, like this is a girl, this is a boy, this guy's gay, this guy's black. In Walking Dead, it always felt like a secondary thing.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I mean, we found Aaron was gay
so
long.
It was like half a thought.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I'm gay. And move on. And it was it.
Yeah, nobody cares because you know what? That guy's probably going to die at some point. Right. So, gay, straight, black,
it doesn't
white,
matter. You got to fight
whatever
zombies.
Your religion is. Right. You got to survive in this world, bro. Good luck. And it's like hardcore survival skills is what you need.
I will say that for me as... seeing another, there's not, when they say villain, I don't know if they mean villain as much as, you know, the opposition.
I would say opposition more than villain.
Yeah, because there's not like a, in Walking
Dead.
Well,
the Whisperer school of thought.
That was pretty.
When you had, I don't remember her name now off the top of my head.
Yeah, Alpha is what I remember.
Yeah, it was
as.
Alpha. Yeah, when she was wearing, you know, skins and walking around leading herds and leading her people,
right.
She was very much the adversary of the group at that time because she's like, I'll just wash over you with all my zombies, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with me.
Right.
Don't get into our territory and screw things up.
You can do whatever you want. Just stay away from here. But to me, the Walking Dead is about the journey through, and there isn't necessarily like hero Rick, villain Negan. It's more like we're following this group, and we've run into the next challenge.
We want our group to survive, but they're going to run into some things where their outlooks are not parallel.
Right.
There you go.
And that's where it's more of the same, but we can go with different routes. And you know, finding someone at this point who has lasted as long as they have,
they're going to be messed up.
Right. We're going to run into some really solidified opinions, I think, of how to survive in this world.
That's true.
And the further we get along in Walking Dead, I think the more visceral the conflicts of interest will be.
It'll be hard lines all the way.
Uh-huh. Excellent. All right. That's it for the news. Now we're going to jump into Picks of the Week.
Nice.
This is from books from last week. Let's go with Richie. Let's get yours really quickly.
Yes, let's do mine.
Tell us, what was your pick?
Ninjas. Ninjak.
Or Batman. Number one.
Nope, there's no Batman here.
Sure.
So, Valiant put out an excellent Ninjak book. In this reference, I prefer to call him Ninjak, as most do, but this comic is actually Ninja K, based on the story that they're going through. Yeah. Essentially, it is the lineage, or the mysterious lineage of MI6 using ninjas to kind of get Black Ops done and things like that. They started out with Ninja A and used him and his old school methods to kind of subverse or go in stealthily through wars and things like that. And they thought that that was so good that they ended up having Ninja A teach Ninja B. Ninja B added some tech, and Ninja B taught Ninja C. And then they realized that, oh, they need to spread it out. So Ninja C would taught like D and E, and then E would teach J and K and things like that. So it just started spreading and spreading spreading.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And with that, each ninja would bring like their own thing. Ninja A being strictly ninja, doesn't like to use tech or anything like that. The main storyline of this is that history, and someone is now going around killing the ninja operatives. Most of them, even though they should be hundreds of years old, are still alive and only look like 60 because of their healing meditations that they do.
Gotcha.
Spread is so... The artwork...
You can
artwork,
buy it for $4,000.
Ooh! The artwork in this is by our favorite from...
Thomas Giarello?
Yes, Thomas Giarello from...
Exo Manowar,
the first couple there. Oh. So looking at it is just fun.
Well, like you said, there's a... You can go... And the pages are ridiculously detailed in pencil. They are amazing.
Man. Yes. Just stellar work.
Brilliant. And he's got the entire book up there for sale. And some of the pages are only like $300. Yep. Some of them are, like
that's,
he said.
That's amazing.
The double page spread, I think,
I'm
going
to have
like
to go look at that.
1,000. I tagged you in it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look at my Facebook.
Long time ago.
But I will say that Christos Cage... I was worried because Matt Kent is my boy.
Oh, gotcha.
And Matt Kent has been writing Ninjak for a while.
Mm-hmm. Christos Cage is good.
But Christos Cage is always good, yeah.
I've liked Christos Cage for a while.
What do you guys know, like, what he did before this? Or,
well, I mean, he's
written a ton of stuff.
I probably have read him before then.
Yes, you probably have.
Yeah. But
well, actually, maybe not. He's done a lot of Marvel. Mostly Marvel stuff. But anyway.
But I digress. The story here is just engaging. Again, it is ninjas, so it captures me on a biased angle.
Sure.
But it, to me, when I've read it, this most times when I talk to people and sell Ninjak, I'm looking for my people. Like, do you like ninjas? Is it, you know? This one, I think, does expand more on the do you like kind of like James Bond styles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it it opens up a little more audience for to appreciate Ninjak.
Sure.
And I think it's worth a shot if you're into any. I'm looking at the
cheap
splash page.
Yeah.
Of Thomas's artwork. Ugh.
It's great. Oh yeah. So do I need to have read the other stuff?
You need to have read exactly nothing at all. The only thing that they will throw at you that's kind of a curveball is he's dating one of the Harbingers. Mm-hmm. And all you really need to know is that he's nervous around commitment. And they explain that really well in here. You don't need to know who the Harbingers are to know that she's, like, in some kind of team. And, but that honestly, there's...
That's it.
Yeah, you don't, this is an absolute jumping on point, start point for the entire world. And it almost explains more than previous Ninjak has,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
It really does go into why he's called Ninjak, you know? And I think that that's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, I get it. I mean, I definitely, when Valiant said that they were going to try this new, I forgot exactly what they were going to call it, but this new age of comic books with Exo-Manowar, Ninjak, Secret Weapons, Bloodshot, and
this is a cover
and such. They said that they really wanted to make the comic books,
it's
not
like
just
showing me porn.
I know. A comic
interior
book.
Comic book pages.
That's right.
Can make you dork out pretty hard.
Because I've been reading them since their relaunch in 2011.
Yeah.
And they've always been solid. They've always been good. But they have, in my opinion, mm-hmm. in my opinion, since the beginning of this year with
a great character too.
Exo-Manowar
uh-huh.
and Ninjak, they've made them must-read comics
with
must-read art, must-read stories, making it.
Well, they're putting a lot into it.
They are.
The thing that Zach and I talk about when we say must-read comics is that we do believe in the comic book collector mentality. Where you buy comics and then you find yourself looking at three different stacks of comics you need to catch up on.
Yes.
Must-read comics are the ones that you pick up that week, and no matter what you do, you make sure that you get that comic read.
Yes.
Walking Dead is still that, and Invincible is still that for me.
Correct. And so for us, I know that Exo-Manowar has been one for me.
Yes.
And Ninjak is definitely on this list.
Oh, so good,
I really just want the pencils now. It's so
dope. I told you, it's the pencils in this set. And that's Valiant's, to Valiant's credit,
mm-hmm.
the artists that they can pull out of their ass, and mm-hmm. and they're just, I like deep, detailed pencilers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like guys who kind of phone it in. I love deep, detailed pencilers. So
oh, yeah.
They've been kind of knocking it out of the park with that for me. The guys they get are just fully detailed, fully rendered. You don't even, I could be fine with this book not in color.
Yes, 100%. So. And I would say, if you want me to critique it, and so you guys know that I always do, I do have a critical angle to my lens, Diego Rodriguez is not as good as Exo-Man's colorist.
Oh, there you go.
So good. Yeah. So good. But it doesn't take away from the story, so it works fine for me.
There you go.
Only $600.
But like I said, my offer is that if you're a Ninjak fan, you should be reading this anyway. If you're a ninja fan, you should be reading this anyway.
Yes, Deep Dave.
If you are into James Bond type stuff or even a noir mystery, because it's kind of being set up like that.
Yes.
I think that you would enjoy this title.
Absolutely. All right. Excellent. Ninja K number one.
Uh-huh.
In stores now.
In stores now.
Sean, let's talk about your very surprising.
I'm shocked.
I'm telling you every time these come out.
I know.
Next couple of months, dude, Invincible is going to be my boy.
Yep.
This one is a one and done.
Invincible number one.
I was wondering
done
why
a
it said part one of one.
he's done a couple of these throughout the Invincible run, Kirkman uh-huh. has, and he basically does a whole lot of story condensed into one comic book.
Uh-huh.
And he does them really well when he does do them. And Invincible's winding down. There's only two issues left after this issue.
I can't believe it.
142.
Yeah.
But how he deals with somebody who's kind of been there the entire book and grown and changed into something completely different throughout the book, he has to go back and deal with him on Earth. He has to deal with Robot on Earth.
That's awesome.
The way this unfolds and the way this... the funny thing is, like, the issue before this issue was kind of an emotional issue.
Right.
There was pretty high emotions with the dealings of some character. I don't want to give a lot away.
That's
the
thing. It's tough,
like,
yeah.
There's, I don't know what to say to like not screw up the story for anybody who's currently reading it.
We will break this down as a whole, because I do believe that...
Well, because I don't think you've read...
No.
You and I know Zach's like, what, five trades or something behind? Because you're a bad person.
You should
person.
See the disappointment in his face.
The last, I think I was at 111.
Mm. Yeah, so you're quite a bit back there. But yeah, this is dealing... like, and then... Of course, you have Ollie.
Oh, man. I know.
His crazy spreads
as well. Talk about more splash pages.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's trying to battle Perez for the most guys you could fit in damn
fit in
pages. So, but the story itself, like this is, like I said, this is kind of a one and done page, and it, the resolution in this was really good. And I'm really excited to see where the last two issues are going to end up, but I'm also extremely sad.
Yeah. So, I think that the emotional peak by the end of this thing is going to be just...
I'm going to turn around it's and read the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the most unique experiences you could have in comics.
Well, and that's, because having a story... Honestly, like I said it before, this is my absolute favorite superhero comic.
I definitely think it's one of the best superhero comics of all time.
It might not be everybody's. It's mine. It's my favorite superhero
definitely,
book ever.
It definitely is.
Because it has never not been good.
No, that's
ever,
true.
Like, the weakest issues are, like, the first three.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's all character setup.
Sure.
And then you just take... Once you take off in this book,
you
just don't stop. And then it just gets better.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of books to me where you keep reading it and it keeps getting better as you keep going.
No.
No, I totally agree. That's one of the reasons why everyone's like, why don't you catch up? I go, there's two more issues. Then I'll sit from issue one and I'll read all 144 plus the spinoffs plus all that stuff. So, good all old right. Invincible.
Great.
And then my pick from last week is going to be Batman number 35.
Which is not crazy, but you did tell me a crazy thing about this.
What, that this is maybe one of my favorite issues of Tom King's run?
Yes.
Yes. This, I think, is one of my favorite issues of Tom King's run. Of course, written by Tom King. Joel Jones does the artwork in this, and she's just killing it. she just kills it on this one. And this is I'll try and not
love
be,
her Catwoman.
Yes, FYI. Not to be too spoilery or anything, but Talia and Catwoman have a battle.
Yes,
of not just swords but of words.
Right.
About their love for Batman.
Right.
And this whole issue pretty much is about that.
Yeah.
And there is some great moments with Dick and Damian.
Yep.
There are some
Superman. Oh no, that was the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the last.
This
one
is just all.
This is all Dick and Damian.
Yeah, and Talia and Catwoman.
Uh-huh.
And it's really funny because there are some people online and such and who said, "Oh man, there's not much Batman in this issue." And there isn't, but I loved it because they're just talking about Batman.
I was going to say, there might be more Batman in this issue than most because they're just strictly talking about Batman.
They're talking about him, and I loved the take that they did with these two. I loved the complete truth or snarkiness or whatever you want to say with Catwoman,
mm-hmm.
where she says, Batman's crazy.
Uh-huh.
He can't let go of his 10-year-old.
In a way, this is also two different fan demographics.
Yes, exactly.
Having the same argument.
Exactly.
And Tom King, he addresses both modes of thought and then challenges them to find a compromised truth. And that is what we call talent, friends.
That's exactly right.
I've had this argument, and it just shows me that I'm apparently in love with Batman and I want to marry him, but
exactly,
I've,
me too.
I've had this argument with fellow Bat Bat fans.
Batman fans, yeah.
And it's stellar to see it in a comic book done in the way where the content isn't forced, and it's just, it bothers me how simple the book is because I know how complicated the tropes behind it are.
Absolutely.
To make them seem fresh is silly.
There's some really kick-ass moments. There's some tender moments. There's some funny moments.
Yes.
This, I think, is one of the best issues that I've read of the 35 issues of Tom King's run.
Mm-hmm.
I will say and put out that I don't think that unless you've been reading all the issues, I don't think this one's going to have the same amount of juice. If you just pick up this one, you didn't read the one before.
You would need the one before, I think, is at the bare minimum.
At the bare minimum. And
fair warning, with Tom King, I think that might be his biggest hiccup, is that this is a very ongoing forward story.
Yes, it is.
And the further we get into his run, the harder it will be to just pick up and go.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. But I absolutely loved this when I read it. Like you said, it felt like some fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a different Batman comic, but still that same quality that I've loved from Tom King. You know, as we said, we were going to try not to pick Batman and Superman and things like that all the time. But this issue, specifically for me...
You had some tears, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes,
yeah,
you did.
Yeah, it was just... the Damian and Dick stuff was hilarious.
And then turned super heartfelt.
And then turned super heartfelt. Just something I never thought that I'd see. But it makes a lot of sense, and I think it was great.
Yeah.
Great artwork, great story. Batman 35 is my pick.
Pick it up.
Awesome.
Okay, so now we're going to go into Spinning the Racks.
Ooh. Spinning the Racks. Da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. Spinning the Racks.
And today's topic of discussion is going to be our top three female comic book characters.
Yeah.
It can be superheroes, it can be something else.
This was so much tougher than I thought it was going to be.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's really tough for me.
It's super tough for him. He's trying to figure it out right now.
That's right.
Yeah, they didn't bother to tell me.
No.
Until we started
recording.
We just
sat down and we told
them. They're like, oh, by the way, we're doing this time. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to fly off the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
So,
I'll tell you right off the bat, and I'm speaking for all of us. We haven't talked to each other, but we're going to not really name our top three. We're going to name some of the top that we have.
Yeah.
The app, I can't figure out which ones I like best. So I just
you said we had to have a top three.
We do have a top
Why
three.
Why did you lie to me, Dave?
I know that my honorable mentions list is like 65 pages long.
Well, sure, absolutely. No, I agree with you. It was hard, but if you want,
well, let's do it.
We're really doing the top three that we can think of right now, right?
Yeah.
That you like?
Yeah. Which? Okay. Yeah, and the way that I thought about it, was. Who would I buy a book of?
Absolutely. That's how I kind of broke it down, too.
So, I love characters like Miss Martian from, Teen Titans and the DC. But
she's would you not buy really in her own book.
But she's not really in her own book, and she's in Teen Titans, and I like it when she shows up.
She's a teen book type character.
Yeah.
I did that with all but one.
I quickly did the same.
Yeah, so right. Making my list, I said, if they brought out a book on issue number one, would I buy it of this character?
So let's break it down. I don't think you have to do it in any order if you don't want to.
Okay, yeah.
So just...
Who wants to go?
You go first.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay, well, my number one, and
you
it's...
talk a lot.
Thank you.
that's why we do a podcast.
What?
That's right. My number one is going to shock a lot of people. I'm sure someone right now is listening to this podcast.
Sit down.
Going
down.
Well, close.
Okay.
And it's going to be Supergirl.
I was close.
I
not really at all.
Now, I will say that Supergirl is my number one favorite female superhero. Not just that she's related and is in that Superman family, which of course is what introduced me to her, but she's such a different character on her own.
Uh-huh.
There's been some great stories with her and Superman just button heads, and I just love I love reading her comics. I love it when she shows up. I think that she's just a really fun, different character. She's not just a Superman clone,
right?
Which is what I really enjoy. But she's still part of that family, which of course I love that mythos. And we're talking. I love the Supergirl from the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Supergirl in the comics. I love the Supergirl from the Silver Age, where she had a monkey and a horse and a cat.
Right.
You know, I own the first appearance of Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have it?
No.
I will say that the Supergirl TV show that's currently running, she kind of shows me how you can illustrate or how far that character can actually go on her own.
Yes.
And I enjoy it so much.
Oh, yeah. So So yeah, anytime I see her, I will pick it up. I'll pick up a book if she's in it, and she's in, and it's not her book. So yeah, so Supergirl's number one for me.
Nice. Want to go next?
Yeah.
Are you just going round robin?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Then I'm going to take one that I think that Sean will join me on.
Okay.
And I wanted to say it, but Andrea from Walking Dead.
Okay.
Is one of my absolute.
I absolutely love Andrea, but she's not in my top three.
All right. Well, she was. To me,
she took a bit for me to catch up to and warm up to.
Yeah, so but that was kind of why I liked it. And I think I'd like, when I was looking at my list, I was gaining traction in because I kept trying to think of, like, who I love to read, you know, just every time she's on the page.
Sure.
And Andrea I liked because of the development of the character from where she started to where she got, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get a complete story with that. And it, for me, her current iteration is
so there's some news I got
badass. I don't want to hear that news. She's just one of the scenes in Walking Dead is when she's on top of the RV and it's driving across the prison and she's sniping off the top of the RV, and I was just like, that is the most badass thing I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, she's a total badass.
And she's not scared.
It sucks. It pissed me off. And it was actually the thing that made me stop watching the show. Was the absolutely terrible treatment of the character by a terrible actress. I do not enjoy that actress in anything I've ever seen her in. Mm-hmm. But you put, an actress that doesn't fill the role.
Right.
And you make this character absolutely nothing than what she is. Like the badass that she is in the comic.
Yeah.
And then you kill her.
Correct.
I was like, for real? Yeah, I'm done.
Not only kill her, but in a really awful, stupid pathetic way.
Yeah, it was dumb. It was so dumb. And so it killed the show for me.
Completely. Oh, totally. And I understand that. But I will tell you, those that watch the show, I am a watcher of the show.
I'm not anymore.
I will give you one hint that I turned Carol into Andrea.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's Carol what they did too. Because some writer went, you need Andrea. Yeah. And he's like, we'll just make Carol that.
You just fill that role?
Yeah.
Not really, but okay.
Yeah, sure. Mm. But that is... So for those of you that may not read the books and you do watch the show, read the books, first of all. But Carol is the Andrea of the TV show. And it is, again, that exact thing where she started in one spot and it really showed you how devastating a zombie apocalypse could get through. And I just love that arc. The falling in love, who she falls in love with and why. And in Walking Dead, there's a lot of spoilers, so I'm trying to keep it a little vague, but... I love the development of the character, and I like the strength that she had, as well as the comfort a female character can have that a male character is hard to write into.
I dig it.
So,
all right. I like it. Okay. All right. Sean, what's one for you?
So one for me, and this is going to be weird, but I think that you don't have a lot of other, especially superhero characters without her. Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
Like straight
absolutely.
Up. She is.
You know what's
she's
hilarious?
A good
that's almost a gimme for me that I didn't pick it. But yes, absolutely. Wonder Woman.
So,
I think
she's a great representation of.
Sure.
Well, now more so in this day and age than she was probably when she was originally created.
Yeah, I would say Wonder Woman might be the craziest ahead of her time character ever.
Yeah, but when they were first writing her, she was the person who brought like the tray of sandwiches. And I mean, she's like the super powerful badass Amazonian, and they were writing her
trays.
As like a housewife or something. Yeah. So that early stuff is kind of whatever, but she grew into the role that she should have been, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because she's gone through a whole ton of changes in the 75 years she's been around.
Oh, yeah.
But she came to represent that power, which is what I like her. I love her for that. I love her for the fact that she is that power.
Sure.
So
absolutely one of the Trinity, and absolutely one of the
I don't think you have
three.
Any other
no I agree with that I definitely think
power.
That
even like I said, she had to go through a lot of changes to get to where she is now, because she would definitely not be the same character if she didn't go through those changes. But she changed with the times and the societal impact of
she was the only female superhero to make it through the dark post-war years when only Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman were being published in comic books that were superheroes. So
because after that it was pretty much all romance and westerns.
And crime stuff.
And then horror. Mm-hmm. And then that all changed again with the resurgence of superhero stuff. But it took like 20 years. So.
It's a fantastic pick.
Absolutely.
All right, what's your next one, Zeki?
Okay, so my next one is going to be Funny enough, it's going to be Batgirl. Mm-hmm. I've always loved Batgirl. I've always liked that dynamic. She's Commissioner Gordon's daughter, and you know, the not just a double life, but she has to lead a double life, keeping it away from him, and of course, all the different stuff that's happened with her throughout the years.
You're just talking about the Batgirl that's turned into Oracle.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Burnside Batgirl.
Well, and I like yeah.
But this is why I didn't pick Batgirl, because I didn't know which one I liked best.
Okay.
Because I will say Cassandra Cain.
Oh yeah.
And her story as Orphan, and kind of how Batgirl morphed into Orphan. Her falling into no man's land was one of my absolute favorite. Barbara Gordon, of course. Her both transitions from Killing Joke, and even if you want to bring her into New 52 with the Survivor's Guilt,
yeah.
I like both renditions of that.
Sure.
I like that Barbara can overcome regardless of which chaotic situation she's in.
Yeah, yeah.
And but even Stephanie Brown as Batgirl.
Oh yeah, I love Stephanie Brown too.
Was one of my absolute all-time favorite runs.
She was spoiler, yeah.
But, she was spoiler, but she had
that run, that like 23 issue run was great.
It was a shorter run, but yeah.
She had a great purple costume for Batgirl, yes. And she was like super scared to wear the mantle because she was so scared of what Barbara would think.
Yep.
And she kept screwing up and kept trying to not screw up. She never did it right. And the ending of that run,
it was great. I agree. I love Batgirl in any iteration.
Yeah.
I picked up the Stephanie Brown stuff. I picked up the Barbara Gordon stuff. I don't really care. If you want me to pick, then I'll say Barbara.
Yeah.
Because I've always liked like the Birds of Prey and the Gail Simone run that she did. The relationship between her and...
It is
and,
really easy to read anything female-oriented written by Gail Simone.
It really is. It really is.
I'd say anything written by Gail Simone.
It's great, yeah.
That's true, too.
And again, I'll pick up a Batgirl book no matter what. I just always love her. I love seeing her.
This current run of Batgirl is fantastic, too.
Yep. I don't know. I just like the...
Not so much the Burnside.
Batgirl Burnside stuff I hated.
Yeah, that was wrong.
I will honest to say that. I couldn't stand
it.
We'll be honest about that.
There's
didn't
people
like
that like
it.
I didn't like that either.
We are not that demographic. So we did not enjoy it.
Yes, but like you said, the most recent issues, the ones where she's with Dick and they're doing like the romance stuff, that's been a lot of fun. So, Batgirl.
Great. The next one for me is going to be Vixen. I've said this before.
All right, yep.
Interesting choice.
I know. I love Vixen's power. I think it's just dope. It's kind of like an Animal Man power, but it's got... I like her African background and the tiki necklace and...
You just like her for the necklace?
I really dig the power. I think it's a strong... I like the way she looks. I like her design. There is not a ton of Vixen stuff out there.
Not a ton, not really.
But
I think she's only had one miniseries.
She's had like a miniseries.
I've read the Rebirth one.
Because I know she's been in Justice League, but I don't. Yeah. I think she's only had one, maybe two miniseries.
This is where my love comes from: is the Justice League run and Meltzer.
Brad Meltzer. And the Eisner Award-winning issue number 11, which was Red Arrow and Vixen.
Correct.
And trapped in the collapsed building.
Correct. And I've always, because I think Meltzer actually realized how much that character could offer and almost made her lead the Justice League for a while, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought that she fit that role really easily. It wasn't forced for me, and I fell in love with the character from that point on. They have her in Legends right now, the TV show, and I enjoy her in that. I just think the character is a lot more versatile than we've given her credit for, and I think has a endless potential, and I really want more Vixen.
Excellent.
But I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
And I want people to read more of her. So.
More Vixen stuff. Yeah. All right.
Number two for me, I absolutely love Zatanna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Zatanna.
I absolutely love Zatanna. I mean, actually, my favorite written Zatanna stuff is the Matthew Sturgis stuff.
All right.
That little run he did that was maybe, I think it was only 25 or 30 issues.
Something like that.
In there.
Yeah.
It was excellent, dude. I felt like he got that character perfectly.
Perfect.
You know, it was the same time that and the Power Girl run was coming out. Yes. And I loved both those runs. But the way he wrote Zatanna, there was one issue in particular where she had to use palindromes because there was a character that was bouncing, reflecting her power. So she'd say the thing backwards, but it would reflect off of him and hit her. So she had to use palindromes as a loop and speak everything in palindromes to make it re-reflect back onto him. It was like this super high concept stuff. And I was like, that is awesome, because I'm a real huge dork and I love palindromes.
Right.
But the fact that somebody was able to tell an entire story with using that, because she had to get around that weird fault in her power, was, I thought it was awesome. But, she's that character who kind of moves in between the spaces. She's not usually always the front forecast character.
Right.
And just every time I see her, I like reading her. I just dig her. And I as much as the New 52 stuff, I kind of look back on it now as, okay, that's a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hold it in super high regard, unfortunately.
Right.
But even the Dark Justice League stuff that she was in, I still liked. Or Justice League Dark, sorry. I still like that stuff. Because
I really think
the fact that it was a little bit weird seeing her and Constantine kind of be weird love interest, because Constantine doesn't really have love interests.
Right.
But if anybody was going to be his love interest, that would make the most sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I think that Zatanna, for me, fits the role of like the Doctor Strange of the DCU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just
absolutely.
Yeah, she's always got like this weird artifact that she's holding from some giant demon that she can't, you know. And she was actually in Detective Comics recently, and an excellent story.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, she pops up here and there
and
when she's needed in wherever she's put. She's it's like, well, Zatanna's here. Oh, things are going
to
get weird.
And it's easy. And it's easy to fall in love with a character that's only written when there's a story to tell. You know, and I think that's why she's so fantastic.
Excellent. I dig it.
Exactly.
Right, my last one here.
Round this out.
All right, so my number three, my third one, is going to be Tulip from Preacher. Mm.
That makes sense. You're the hopeless romantic, and that's a hopeless romantic story. Kinda,
yeah.
So.
Yes. I have, until I read Preacher, I had never, ever gone, oh, I wish that this was a real person. I wish I knew them. I wish this was real life or whatever. But Tulip and Preacher as a...
And you're talking the comic book, not the TV show.
The comic book, not the TV show. Actually, that's one of my biggest problems with the TV show.
That's my absolute biggest problem with the TV show.
Yeah. I fell in...
I had to do the reading of... I like read Tulip, and then I watched it right after. It was so jarring. It's disjointing. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yes. You're like, wait. I mean, the TV show character is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
A representation of a strong woman. That's perfectly fine. But that's not how the character
Tulip
works.
Tulip is not written, like
unfortunately.
That, no.
Exactly. And when I read Preacher, all I did every time I read Preacher, you know, the first time I read it was, I love this woman. Uh-huh. And,
God, you were so young when I had you read that.
Yep.
It was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Yep.
I hate watching time go by.
It's worse.
Yeah.
Ignore it.
If you have not read Preacher, it's kind of hard to talk about it because it's her whole arc. It's her and Jesse and Cassidy. Those are the three main characters, but it's her whole arc. It's who she is. And she's the love interest, the person that Jesse loves throughout the entire book. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in comic books or in movies or whatever, you know, a lot of times they go, this person, this is the woman that Superman loves, Batman loves, whoever. And a lot of times for me personally, I go, really?
Does he?
Yeah, does he? That, you know, that's a little weird. But in this instance, Tulip, I was like, absolutely. If there's a real woman like this, I could see myself or somebody else falling falling in love with her that hard like Jesse did in the
absolutely.
Book. Well-rounded character, in my opinion. Some people have problems, but that's a whole different thing.
Right.
I loved her. I loved the way she was drawn, the way she acted, her character art throughout the entire book. And yes, if they did a Tulip, for some weird reason, Garth Ennis said, I'm going to write about Tulip for a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
I will buy it.
All I could think about is an Andrea miniseries, like a spinoff. I'd read the shit out of it. Just her going on adventures with her sweet-ass scar.
Yeah, there you go.
Hilarious.
So good. All right, so my number three is going to be Jessica Jones.
Okay.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. So I'm into snarky, smart-ass women, and she might be the snarkiest and most smart-ass.
Yep.
She's a superhero in the superhero world that, like, just poo-poos the spandex and...
She doesn't give a shit about all the
She just doesn't care, right.
She doesn't care about any of that.
I felt like it's
like a drain to her.
Yeah, it's just... Everything is just like, ugh, I guess, you know? And she even becomes a mother with that attitude. She is unforgiving about, like, who she wants to sleep with, how she wants to sleep with him, how she's going to raise this kid in the newest stuff with Jessica Jones stuff. And I love that about this character. There's absolutely, in my feeling, there's nothing that she's following the rules on, you know?
No.
She's not even really good at being, like, a friend, you know?
Not.
So, and I love that. I just love the train wreck that is Jessica Jones and how she just kind of... Yeah, and she just goes through it day to day. I pick up her comic every time it comes out, and I think she's unique. A unique, especially when it comes to the superhero world, she's an absolutely unique female character.
All right. I dig that. I dig it.
Interesting.
You excited for Kelly Sue DeConnick to take over?
We'll see.
We'll see.
So my pick...
Your third.
My third pick is Black Widow.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I was wondering if she was going to make the list. I
absolutely love Black Widow.
Yep. That one I didn't see coming.
Dude.
He owns every Black Widow comic.
I didn't know that.
I own every mini series of Black Widow. I've loved Black Widow since the first time I read her in Daredevil. Actually,
okay,
was the first experiences I've had with her. Oh. And I just followed her through every iteration. The comics I actually don't like. She was in a lot of the New Avengers and a lot of the Avengers stuff. I didn't keep any of that stuff.
Right.
I pretty much sold off that stuff. But all of the Black Widow miniseries that have ever come out, I have every issue and every variant for them.
Nice.
Because I liked the character that much. And some of the miniseries have been not as good as other ones, but I'll still pick it up and read it every time.
So what do you think of the Avengers movies?
Scarlett Johansson?
Yes,
I am absolutely fine with Scarlett Johansson being Black Widow.
Yeah, me too.
Nails it.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they're all beautiful women.
Well, but the funny thing about Scarlett Johansson, there was a lot of people that were really, really excited every time she came on the screen. I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. Really, I didn't. It took me a long time to warm up that Scarlett Johansson's a pretty decent actress, and that I like the character she plays and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, I really liked her as Black Widow. I thought she fit perfectly.
Right.
Sure.
So in my mind, that's the iteration that I usually see when I'm reading it on the page anyway. So when we put her on the screen, I was like, oh, sweet tool.
It's one of those
cool
Marvel
too.
Magic castings that they do where you're just like, oh, there she is.
And some people like, might not agree with me at all.
Oh, right. Man.
Some people might not agree with me at all. And I would just say that...
hear that opinion. I haven't heard anyone say that, Black Widow, that Scarlett Johansson doing any injustice.
I'm sure there's people that don't like Scarlett Johansson just because they don't like Scarlett Johansson. Like, people don't like Tom Cruise or don't like whoever.
Exactly. Right.
But I think she fit the role perfectly, and I love the fact that when she shows up in any of the comics that she's in, I think
she's...
Are
her current comics any decent? Are they doing okay with her?
They're okay. I'll have to say, they're not...
That's not a knock on
me
being,
Widow,
but it is a
me
knock
being
on
the person,
what Marvel's dedicating to good writing.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Well, me being the person that's read everything up to this point, this is on
the
weaker side of the Black Widow story stuff, unfortunately. I'll still read it just because I like the character that much. But, you know.
No, that's great.
Yeah, so that's my third pick.
Awesome.
As you said, I mean, there's tons more great female characters out there.
Name an honorable mention. Don't talk about it. Just one name.
She-Hulk.
Batwoman.
Interesting. Lady Mechanica.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one, too.
See? There you go.
Yeah, there's just so many.
There's so many.
Well, I could throw Dawn in there, too.
Sure.
But
that's
a character
that
has never
like
grown,
said,
so that's the only reason she never made my list.
Like you said, there's tons of them, and I started looking at X-Men for this list, and I went,
oh, God. Just put it aside.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Well, I mean, I looked at, like...
I was trying to think of
Shadowcat. And I really considered her,
Kitty
but the
Pryde.
Problem
Pryde,
is,
I looked at too.
Every single miniseries I've ever read from her, I hated.
Oh, well.
So I was like, I can't put that on my list.
No,
I don't like that.
She's
I don't like
great,
those iterations.
That team dynamic.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Was it
it's the same thing with Storm. I think Storm's great in a team dynamic. I'm not.
She's terrible about herself.
I don't like her miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, that was fun. I like that. That was good. So, thank you guys for joining us for this fun little top three.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week, and we're probably going to have a little bit of talk. Look out for a spoiler podcast on Doomsday Clock number one.
Yeah, we did a little
But then next week, probably we'll hear from Sean a little bit about what he thought about Doomsday Clock as well.
Okay.
That probably will enter in sometime. So a little tease for you guys.
They do, actually.
Yes. So until next time, guys, have a good week.
Yep, and go see Justice League.
Go see Justice League. All right. See you guys later. Bye-bye. Go! Guys still here?
I bet they are.
All right, if you guys are here, we're just doing a last little announcement here that I Want More Comics does two book clubs every single month.
That's right.
The second to last Thursday and the last Thursday of every month we have a book club. The second to last is a manga book club where we sit around and we talk about different mangas. Right now we're going through the Dragon Ball Saga. Once we get through that, we'll be going through other famous mangas that people would like to sit, read, and talk about.
Yeah.
The last Thursday of every month, we do a comic book club where we pick different things. We've done things like Day Tripper. We've done things like Dark Knight, a Paul Dini story.
We Three by Grant Morrison.
Yeah, we've done tons of stuff, and that's always changing. The great thing about this, guys, is if you want to participate, we make it super easy. Both the manga and the comic book club, whatever we're choosing. You guys can get an awesome discount. If you are a Hold Slot member with I Want More Comics, you can get them both for 30% off for the entire month of whatever that you're, whatever month they're in. If you are not a Hold Slot member, you're just somebody who likes to come in, walk in, have fun, you still get 25% off all the time on those titles. This is just an awesome way for us to talk comics, get great comics into people's hands, and to spread the love. So again, that's going to be the second to last and the last Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time here at the store. We just hang out and talk some awesome comics.
So it sounds like all you have to do is buy a comic book and then come hang out with us and talk about it.
Exactly. So if you're interested, just stop by. We always have it at the front counter. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time, so be sure to check it out.
Absolutely. Until next time.
Yep, talk to you guys later. Bye.